Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dean Orlando. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, doing
Danny.
Good?
Yeah.
Cool. This is the Inside Mac radio program, and it's brought to you by Microm, makers of TechTool Pro 4, brand new universal binary version, a dual level, double layer, dual boot DVD for Intel and our friend, the PowerPC chip. You can check that out at micromat.com. MCE Technologies, the place to get a new MacBook, MacBook Pro, Mac Pro, iPod, upgrades for your super drive, you name it, these cats are stocked with a slew of goodies. You can check them out at mcetech.com. DVD-XDV, the software to have if you're doing anything in video production. If you have any kind of content that's on a DVD and you want to pull that content off and bring it back into Final Cut Express, Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Studio, Motion, I don't care where you want to take it, into an Avid Nitrous News Editor system, it doesn't matter, into a Grass Valley K2 server, you need DVD-XDV. They got a brand new website. Check it out. It's way cool. www.dvdxdv.com. FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program, the coolest stuff. They have SATA cards for old PowerBooks. They have SATA cards for the Express 34 from the MacBook Pros. They got SATA cards for PCI Express for the new Mac stuff. They got everything. Check it out. Cool storage solutions, all backplane, no cables, no garbage. $20 trays. You can slide in and out. You can have thousands of hard drives stacked up everywhere. Like old books, but I have hard drives just stacked everywhere. And you can just label the hard drive, photos, music, whatever. Recipes, you know?
Yeah.
Lobster bisque.
Oh, yeah.
200 gigs of lobster bisque recipes, you know, on a hard drive. I need lobster bisque. I just pull the hard drive out of the shelf, you know, boom.
We just need the computer that actually makes it for you. You know, just
I need the Star Trek replicator.
You drop a lobster in, you draw the raw ingredients. It's like the lobster bisque maker, and lobster bisque just shoots out, you know.
No, you know what I want? I want the thing that was in Star Trek, the food machine.
Oh.
And you just walk up and you tell it what I want. It goes, whoo, whoo, and you open the door, and there it is, whoo, piping hot.
Yeah.
All replicated, synthetic. Everything.
Yeah.
No organic material.
Yeah.
Done. What do I want today? I want lobster bisque from the House of Shields.
House of Lords,
whatever.
In the Sahara. Yeah, that's the best lobster bisque on the planet.
That we found so far.
Yeah.
We'll have to have, we'll put a call out again to our listeners that actually have enjoyed the fine taste and texture and creaminess of lobster bisque. Send us your recommendations.
Yeah, where's
Research
the best,
planet for the
where's
best.
Where's the best lobster bisque? We are huge lobster bisque fans.
We are. So if you're into this stuff, let us know. We had a few people send us before last time we talked about it. So if you're into the stuff, and it doesn't matter if it's in Tennessee, Florida, Las Vegas, California, we're going to search it out.
Yeah, and we're going to fly there and try it out too.
That's right. We've done that before. But either way, you want to put storage, you need something that's cool, check it out, firmtech.com. And our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo Magazine, you can check both those guys out at popphoto.com. And, of course, Creative Pro at creativepro.com, Mac Update at macupdate.com, Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Show, Ink on Paper, Cool Stuff, printingforless.com, and our buddy Philip Hodgetts, the digital production buzzmeister. His show, Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So look, we ate up the whole segment talking about lobster bisque.
Ah, but that's a good thing to talk about, because lobster bisque sure is good.
Yeah. You know, we get derailed here. You know, that's what happens when you have, you know, the mind of a size of a peanut. Hey, we got a pretty cool show lineup today. We have a crazy show lineup, matter of fact.
Is it crazy?
Dude, I'm not going to say it, because I got to make sure all this goes through and works, but we're going to, in theory, have some guys calling in from an undisclosed, top-secret location, embedded military, United States Marine Corps from the continent of Africa. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh,
so if it works, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Got to remember, it's 10 hours ahead, and right now...
And you got a satellite uplink, and you got...
It's all satellite, and it's going to be coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday, their time. So, you know, we're going to see how that works, but that's going to be pretty cool. We got Dean Orlando here. Philip Hodge is going to be with us. We have Dr. Craig Cleveland, just featured on Apple.com. We're going to have that. We're going to have James Kim, senior editor for CNET. All kinds of cool stuff. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast-quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X, now universal binary. You can check it out at micromat.com. Right now we have James Kim with us. He is the senior editor over at CNET, and we're going to talk today about iPod speaker stuff. Hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. So tell us, you used to be over with, before you were at CNET, you were over at Tech TV, correct?
That is correct. And before that, ZDTV.
Yeah, you've been around that deal for a while until the Vulcan thing exploded.
Yes, quite an experience, but I'm glad I'm over here.
Yeah, no, CNET rocks. I mean, we used to be at CNET. We were a part of CNET Radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so been an interesting deal. But now tell us, you are a senior editor. You do a lot of reviews and portable audio, iPod goodies, all kinds of cool little trinkets over there.
That's right. The latest review that I'm working on is the SanDisk Sansa, the 8 GB sort of nano killer.
Oh, but, how is it?
You know, we're waiting to see what Apple has in store for us.
I think there's always something there lurking somewhere.
Yeah,
there's always
sure.
Some cool little thing. Let's talk today about, you did a deal about different speakers for the iPod.
Yes.
And what's your thoughts on this whole speaker deal? Because you got Apple's, you know, their hi-fi deal, and you got about another 5,000 companies that are making speakers now. What's really cool? What's the hot ticket? What does James think that rocks?
Well, you know, there really are tons of accessories made for the iPod. And, of course, most of these speaker systems also can work with other audio devices. But, because they're made for the iPod, you can dock them and recharge and transfer songs to a computer, to and from a computer. So there's a lot of benefits in addition to just being stylized around the iPod. I'm a good person to ask, too, because I have many iPod speaker systems at home that I use. I have an iPod Hi-Fi, of course, from Apple. That was much ballyhooed, and, you know, it's really kind of an expensive piece of gear that's kind of blocky, pretty decent sound quality at high volumes, but a couple things that I don't like about it. I also use the Altec Lansing IM7, which is the cylindrical, very, you know, modern-looking boombox. It's been out for a couple of years, and I always like that one. You just kind of stick your iPod in the cradle and snap it closed, and it becomes like one unit and runs on batteries, very good sound, horrible remote. So it really depends on where you want to use your device. There's a bunch of new iPod speaker systems that are, you know, designed just for the home. They don't have battery support. There are some that are more, for your bedroom, for your nightstand, so they're like the JBL On Time and the new Logitech Audio Station and Audio Station Express, both have all have clocks, so they're sort of like integrated as clock radios. Prices range from anywhere from like $50, $60 for, you know, a pair of low-end Logitechs up to $350, $400. Some of the best sounding and most powerful iPod speaker systems for the home that I've heard are the Klipsch iFi, and if anyone's familiar with Klipsch computer speaker systems, yeah, they rock. There's powerful subwoofer. I think there's 200 watts of total power. There's an iPod dock included, and that actually lists for 400, but it's available for under 300 right now. So it actually does better than the iPod Hi-Fi in terms of pricing. I just looked at this smaller brand from Jinny Systems, Chinese manufacturer, and I just reviewed the iTube, which is a three-piece system with an integrated vacuum tube. So it's sort of it's a hybrid vacuum tube solid-state design that is supposedly makes digital compressed files a little warmer and smoother, and it actually sounds very, very good.
Yeah, I have the iFi myself, and you're right, that thing lays it down. It's worth the dough. I mean, like you said, it's a breakout component subwoofer and the satellite deal, but it's a real type of, it's like a real monitor type system.
It's built around classically good set of speakers. It's not just sort of a hybrid of parts.
Right.
But like you said, the thing retails for 5 clams. So.
Yeah.
It really thumps, but it's really an investment. I mean, a lot of people out there have established home stereo systems, and you know, there are many ways to sort of integrate besides the easy sort of connect, you know, via your eighth inch headphone jack. You know, DLO has the Home Dock Deluxe, you know, where you can actually connect the output of the video to a TV and control your iPod that way. There's a lot of solutions. There's iPod's own dock. You know, so this is one of those topics where, yes, there are, you know, hundreds of iPod speaker system, or at least speaker systems out there, and there are dozens of iPod-specific speaker systems, and then there's other ways you can do it. So there's also the portable speaker system, which is basically the latest one I reviewed was from Altec Lansing, the InMotion IM500. These are actually designed for the Nano, and they're so thin. They're 0.67 inches thin, and they sort of fold down into something that you can just slip into a backpack in between books or something, and it's pretty decent sounding too. So, you know, the portable stuff is kind of cool because they're battery operated. That product plus the Logitech MM50s I like. You know, a lot of people talk about the Bose Sound Dock. You know, you see the ads everywhere. Pretty good sound, a little expensive, but a couple things I don't love about that is, you know, it doesn't run on batteries, and I don't think there is a line in input. So, you know, you don't want to be too one-dimensional. You want to be able to connect your laptop or other devices to a speaker system if you're going to invest in one.
Now,
this is so true about the having to deal with a multiple input. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, when you guys go out and measure these, are you guys measuring, like, impulse distortion, and are you putting it in, like, in a lab and a scope and just really running full-blown tests on it, or are you just guys listening to it and plugging it in?
I think, you know, in most cases, it's plugging it in and listening and taking it home and listening, and we do side-by-side tests. It's mostly subjective. We do a slightly different thing with MP3 players where we actually connect it to a big device, a sound card, and you know, analyze distortion and signal to noise and all that stuff. But for speaker systems, you know, I'd imagine for an iPod, it's more of a subjective thing. If you're talking about high-end audio with, you know, vacuum tube amps and big, you know, nice speakers, you know, that's something where it's going to require more golden ears and, you know, more equipment to actually determine what's better. But I would say it's pretty easy to line up a group of iPod speakers and figure out which one sounds the best.
Very interesting there. Now, what do you think if you were going to buy one unit that you could only have one, James, that was an all-around deal that you sort of wanted maybe just sit in the living room or in your bedroom, you had some decent sound out of it, you could listen to some jazz, you could crank it up and put some Maiden on it, you know, whatever. What would you sort of pick that would be sort of like your pick as, and let's not talk about price here.
Right, right.
What rocks if you're going to buy one unit and you just want it to sort of work?
You know, I still stand behind the Altec Lansing IM7s only because I'm a very mobile person, and I like to sort of bring stuff around with me and amplify it outside or at a friend's house or something like that. So I would say that because if it's just for home as well, it looks nice and it sounds great. The only thing I really don't like about it is the remote control, which is like one of those puffy plastic things that
it's something you know, normally gets lost in the couch or you step on it and then just throw it away anyway. So, James, thank you so much for being with us today. We'd really love to have you back talking about more stuff and do some more stuff with you guys. Very cool. There we go. James Kim, senior editor at CNET. Check him out at CNET.com. Next up here, we're going to have Andy Shallett, the Mac Design Out of the Box author, and we're going to have some cool tips for you, so stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be in insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromet in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've created some cool content in any kind of software, you put it onto a DVD as an MPEG-2 type of format, as a real DVD, but now you want to pull the stuff back off, bring it into your Avid Nitrous News Editor system over there at KGO and move that stuff over to your Grass Valley K2 server, or just bring it into iMovie and make a cool little Christmas movie for the family. Hey, whatever. You know, it's cool stuff. Check it out. DVDXDV.com. They got a brand new website. It's smoking. Check it out. Right now we have Andy Shallett. Andy is the author of the Mac Design Out of the Box Tip Book and a bunch of other ones that he's doing now, even some heathen stuff. Andy, how you doing?
I'm not doing any heathen stuff.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
No. We stay away from that stuff. Heathen, by the way, means PC-based stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, good.
We feel sorry for him. I'm sorry.
Okay, good, because that other book that I'm doing, my border on that. But I can't talk about that here.
So what's up, buddy? You got what's Andy's hot tip of the week?
Well, I got a call from a friend of mine this week. He had a problem. He used Wiretap Pro, which is a shareware program, and he recorded some internet radio show, some a very obscure thing, because there was some rare recording, some old blues or something that he wanted to record. But he had this 2-hour-long radio show that he wanted to edit. Now, he doesn't have QuickTime Pro, so he said, what kind of editing application could I use? And I'm thinking, of course, meaning he doesn't want to pay a penny for anything. So I said, well, why don't you try QuickTime? And he says, well, I don't have QuickTime Pro. And I was thinking, because QuickTime Pro, you know, you can do a real nice rudimentary cut and paste, you know, to isolate different parts of things and make new movies out of them, then export them as AIF files, and then import them into iTunes, convert them to AAC or MP3, and then you've compressed them and you've done everything you have to do. So I'm thinking, how can he do this? Well, one other thing about QuickTime Pro is that if you have QuickTime Pro, the markers, I don't know if you've ever played in them, but when you're trying to edit in it, you know, they have those little markers for copying and pasting, and sometimes they're just very difficult to play with, and they just don't work always, and every time you hit play or you go back to one, it skips and it moves around. So I'm thinking, what application out of the box would work great for this? Well, of course, the first thing you think of is maybe GarageBand, but GarageBand has a bit of a learning curve, so I'm thinking, how about iMovie? So he's got his long AIF file. He drags it into iMovie. This is iMovie 6, of course, iMovie HD. And because you can do bookmarks, you can actually put little markers wherever these splits are, wherever you want to isolate pieces of them. And if you go into iMovie and you go into the edit, you can then split audio up into separate files, the way you do film clips. So I had him go in, he dragged in the pieces, he isolated them down to this tenth of a second, and he got the pieces that he wanted, got rid of the other stuff, exported out as movies, and then imported the AIF files into iTunes, where he then converted what was a French or originally a 24 megabyte file, he converted it into AAC, brought it down to a 2.4 megabyte file, and he was happy.
Yeah,
how's that for a quick, groovy tip?
That's a great tip.
Okay, Andy, thank you so much. There you go. Andy Shallett, you can check it out at shallett.com. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, some cool Mac tips. We'll be right back.
This is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Record of your call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want to get a brand new Mac Pro, a MacBook Pro, a MacBook, even if you want a Power Mac G5, these guys can help you out. Plus, they sell RAM, hard drive upgrades, DVD burner upgrades for PowerBooks, for G3s, G4s, G5. They got a brand new cool iPod transmitter thing. You know, these guys are just happening. Check them out at mcetech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks for the week. Hello, Sammy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? We got a lot of fun stuff. Scott, Brad, first up, we've got a very cool company. Everyone knows who Swiss Army Knife is, right, Scott?
Yes.
Well, they have come out with a line of products called SwissBit, and SwissBit makes a whole line of memory products that are built in. These are flash drives that are built into Swiss Army Knives. So it's a trip. They start at 128 megabytes all the way up to 2 gigabytes. I think they are awesome. So you've got your little Swiss Army Knife. It's got a little scissors, file, even a pen built into it, and a light, plus a thumb drive, a flash drive that's built in the middle that pulls right out. It kind of swings out. And it's great. How many times, if you're traveling, of course, you can't bring it on the plane, of course. But
yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a problem.
You can't bring it on the plane, that's right. You know, I'm going to hold you up with my 1 gigabyte flash drive. But it's great, Brad, if you need to transfer a file and you're not anywhere near where, you know, there's a network, mm-hmm. It's a great thing to have. You know, they're kind of pricey. The 128 starts at $46, and it goes all the way up to 2 gig, which is $168. But you know, I think it's a perfect gift for someone that's got it all. You know, someone like Scott Shepard, this is the kind of gift that I would give to Scott Shepard if I were to give him something, because I know, Scott, you don't own one of these, right?
I do have one. Remember, we got one at CES.
Oh, darn it, you did get one.
But, you know, he does have everything.
That's right. We went, and they've come out with also an MP3 player version that has an MP3 player built in.
I think that's the one we got, isn't it?
Huh?
I haven't opened it since CES.
Anyway, it's called SwissBit. If you want to check them out,
it is cool. It is cool. I've seen the unit.
Yeah.
Now, also, a podcast that Scott knows about that we've got a feature. It's called RippleCast. If you go to rippletraining.com, these are called RippleCast podcasts. These are all high-end video podcasts. These are for people that want to learn about Final Cut, Aperture, all the high-end video tools that Apple makes. These guys do a video podcast for the training of it. I got to tell you, it is really, really well done. Brad, you've got to check it out.
Oh, yeah, actually, my friend Brian Gary does those with Steve Martin for Ripple Training. Yeah, they're awesome.
So well done, and I'm not into the high-end stuff, but once I saw it, they have a brand-new one for iTunes backup. It's wonderful. They even have one called Podcasting 101. You got to check it out. It's called rippletraining.com, and they're called RippleCast. And it's available on iTunes right now, or you can download it on their site. But that's the podcast that I think is just really well-defined. And if you're into video, download it. It's free. You don't need an iPod, though it will work in the iPod. All you need is iTunes. So that's what we have today, a lot of cool stuff. Next month, of course, is CTIA, so we'll be there covering the mobile scene in Los Angeles. That's the beginning of September. So look out for more cool mobile tools for the Mac and for the iPod.
Excellent. Sammy, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Cool stuff. That SwissBit deal is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat little device, and like you said,
beautiful.
You can't carry it on the plane, but, you know, what fun is that?
Right. Maybe they should make a Swiss Army knife without the knife.
All I want is a Bic lighter. All I want is a Bic and a can of Final Net. That's it.
It'd be a Swiss Army. What would you call it? A Swiss Army something. We just have no knife, so you could carry it on a plane.
Oh, they probably still wouldn't let you. You cannot bring a torque wrench on the plane. You will disassemble the panels.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great.
Don't touch my monkey. Let's dance.
Oh, bring back Dieter.
Hey, thanks, Sammy. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to talk to the doctor. Doctor Who, you're going to have to find out when we get back. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by FirmTech, the official storage solution of the Inside Mac radio show. Very cool stuff. SATA solutions for your MacBook, MacBook Pro, for your PowerBook G4, for your G4, for your G5, for your Mac Pro, you name it. Cool stuff. True backplane, SATA solutions, removable trays, great stuff. Check them out, firmtech.com. Right now we have the good doctor with us. We have Dr. Craig Cleveland.
Good afternoon.
Good, doctor. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. So you were just featured on Apple's website under the business profiles of doing, I guess the big thing was the electronic medical record work into your practice using a Mac.
Right. Right now, it's probably only maybe 5%, maybe a little bit more of medical offices now that are using the EMRs or electronic medical records. Since I went back out into private practice, I thought I'd start off right. Initially, I was in private practice back in 84 and used the Macs for billing and was definitely going to go that way this time, but wanted to incorporate the EMRs.
Now, what are EMRs? Could you go through, just give us a little background on this technology?
Look at it. EMR is basically a relational database. You have, let's say, a file of diagnoses, a file of codes of what you've done. Then you've got your demographic file. Then you have your office visit file. And each office visit is then broken down into separate sections. So you have, let's say, we call them SOAP notes, S-O-A-P, so a subjective, objective assessment and plan. So you start off and you see the patient, and they come in with the complaints of, let's say, upper respiratory tract. So let's say I've got a cold. Then objectively, we've got vital signs, and then what we hear when we listen to the chest or whatever other exams we do, assessment might be upper respiratory tract infection, and plan might be fluids, Tylenol, and antibiotics. That's all incorporated in one part of the relational database, then we can pull in the demographics for identification, and then the codes we use for diagnosis, and then the codes we use for the offices itself, and then that's all printed out on a form called a HCFA form. It's what goes to Medicare, what goes to the insurance companies, or we also file by electronic claims. And that gives the insurance companies an idea of what the patient was there for, and gives them the exact diagnosis by a code as well as the procedure. And that's basically an EMR in short.
Now, you also use your Macs to do other things in the office. Of course, you're running Osirix.
Right.
We've had those guys on the show when that first came out. Tell us how that works out with you guys and how using Osirix is better than maybe using some of these other proprietary solutions and being able to do stuff on your Mac.
Well, the big thing about Osirix, for me, is that I do a lot of occupational medicine, so we're looking at a lot of work injuries. And with work injuries, you need imaging. That may be X-ray, which we have in the office. That may be MRIs, and that's where Osirix comes in. The scanners and the companies we use locally for scanning the injured area will send us either a hard copy, in other words, films, the typical X-ray films you see them slapping up on the lights and looking at, or they'll send us a DVD with the images embedded in that data. Well, with Osirix, we can go ahead, put the disk in, call it up on Osirix, and go through the whole protocol. We can, with our mouse, increase the lightness or darkness. We can change the contrast of the picture to get a better view. And from my standpoint, I can then go ahead and find, let's say, that segment or that picture that shows the torn rotator cuff or the torn meniscus in the knee. I can isolate that one view, save it as a JPEG, and then import it right into my electronic medical record. nice thing about that is if the patient comes back and says, well, you know, really, was my knee that bad? I can call up on my tablet and say, here it is. Here's the picture of your knee, here's the MRI, and here's the tear.
Interesting. What did you find any kind of real problems when you went and changed over everything? When you went to private practice and you went to the MAC solution, did you find anything that was a real problem that was just really this big stump that stopped you from going forward? Or was everything sort of already in place and you guys just said, hey, cool, this works, and just went on with it?
Well, I had the benefit of starting off using MACs back in 84. And actually, in my first office, I started off using Elisa. And obviously, there wasn't enough software for that, and I switched right over to the 128. And it was almost like doing that all over again, but with a lot more powerful computers. I really didn't consider using a PC. I've been in offices that use PCs. I've worked for hospitals that use PCs. Even my wife's company uses PCs. And I've always seen the problems with systems going down, problems with access to data. And I've never had that problem in the 20-some-odd years I've used Macs. So for me, it was almost a no-brainer going right back to the Mac. Now, as far as software, lots of software out there, especially geared for the Mac. And the nice thing about it, too, is you can use the very stable platform of, let's say, an iMac G5 as a server and even connect with what I'm using is a motion tablet when I go in to see the patient. And that PC tablet is then connected to my Mac server through a wireless network.
So what you need is a Macintosh tablet, and then you'd be completely Mac-based.
Well, I still have my original Newton, and I was just wishing I could do something with that.
You know, it's so interesting that you bring that up. We just did a user group meeting. We did a presentation for the guys down here at Apple at their user group this last Monday here. And one of the guys was talking, there's still a Newton user group in the Silicon Valley area of California here, and people are still using it, and I guess there's software that lets you interact with a Newton and OS X.
I'll tell you, the Newton was a wonderful piece of equipment. I don't know how I would use it now, especially when you look at the extensive amount of data you put in. It would limit you to what you would do. I know there are a number of different PC programs out there that use the Palm-type computers, and their screens are very, very limited, and it's a lot more work to get data in and out. But with the current equipment, with using Macs or using a combination of Macs and PCs, boy, you can do just about anything.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, the main thing, I mean, you're using SpringChart as your EMR client. You have Mac Practice. But everything else you're using is just normal Mac software, Safari, Mail, the Palm Desktop. You got iWork, Pages, iPhoto. I mean, you're using all the normal stuff, Adobe stuff.
Right, correct. I mean, it's pretty much off-the-shelf software that enhances everything I do. One of the things, for instance, because I'm doing a lot of workers' comp, I can download the PDF sheet that I need to file with workers' compensation and using something like Adobe, go in, fill out all my information on the form so that then becomes my master form. And then whenever the patient comes in for a new visit, we can go ahead, fill out whatever we need on that, go ahead and then send that right off to workers' compensation, and have a form that literally no one has touched a piece of paper until we actually print that final copy and then fax it to workers' comp. Unfortunately, workers' comp is one that still needs paper input. But, we use off-the-shelf software.
Now, Craig, doing the Spring Chart, MR client, and the Mac Practice software, and, of course, Osirix is free, was there any kind of price barrier that actually cost you more into doing your practice and setting it up using the specific software for a medical practice compared to it on a PC, or was the actual Mac software actually cheaper than buying some overbloated monster PC client with all these nightmare support issues?
Well, interestingly, a lot of the PC software out there that I have seen is gauged for very large practices, such as orthopedic practices and large clinics. So right away, the software is expensive. Plus, each time you add a client, another computer, let's say billing uses or a nurse would use, the license for that is very much higher than it is on the Mac. So on the software side, the software at just starting off for, let's say, the server, much less expensive. The software cost for each client, much less expensive. Not only to say that the hardware costs are extremely, extremely conservative, much better than a PC compatible setup.
So you're actually saving money by going to a Mac because the client the actual software and all of the support issues around it are tremendously cheaper on the Macintosh than they are on the PC.
Yeah, Brad, it's really interesting because I save probably 60% of the cost of setting up my hardware and software. One, because I had good working knowledge of the Mac. You've got good equipment, things that are not going to break down. And then the software, good software. It's very intuitive. But the price of the hardware and the software literally was a third of what I would buy for a comparable PC setup. And at the same time, with the Apple network of specialists, for a doc who needs that, they can come in, help you set up your wireless network. They can come in and get your office set up. Or the support team from SpringChart or from Mac Practice can walk you through the setup of those programs. Now, interestingly, Mac Practice has online QuickTime movies for just about every question you might have on the software. So if you have a question of how to input this particular type of data, you go up under the help menu and you put your question in, and next thing you know, you got a QuickTime movie showing exactly what you need to do.
Hey, Doctor, we're coming to break. Can you hold on for 1 second
so we can
finish up on the other side of this break? You're here with Dr. Craig Cleveland. He is a internal and occupational medicine MD in beautiful Ohio. We're going to tell you how to get a hold of Dr. Craig here in a minute. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show was brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the number one trusted source for digital imaging and information for the past 50 years. You can check them out at popphoto.com. We're here with Dr. Craig Cleveland from Mason, Ohio. He is an occupational MD. He does all kinds of stuff. Tell us what you actually do in your practice. Now that we've talked about all the cool guy Mac stuff, how do you actually help people?
Well, I started off back in 84 as a general internal medicine. I did pretty much everything. You came with a sore throat, we did it. If you had a laceration, we did it. I've had extensive experience working in emergency rooms. So I was able to, I felt very comfortable doing that in my practice. About 9 years ago, because of management of the office, staffing-wise, decided to go ahead and get out and work for one of the local hospitals, basically being the directors of their medical, their occupational medicine centers, and have been doing that. And basically any type of work injury, strain, sprains, crush injuries, lacerations, foreign bodies in the eye, whatever, anything comes in, we take care of it, and then do all the follow-up.
Right, so someone, you know, you got a lot of, probably in that region of the country, there's a lot of guys still doing actual manufacturing, doing real work. And
yeah. You get a lot of, you know,
well, you know, you're grinding
pops.
Something and something hits you in your eye, a little sliver. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, it's an issue. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, a fellow who's welding, they usually grind those things down, and those little pieces fly all over the place. And, it only takes a few seconds to actually remove it, and we can get them right back to work right away.
Yeah, the problem we have out here is all I have is just wrist and arm injury from using a mouse all day.
We're a little techie out here. We don't deal with those industrial accidents too much.
But, no, that's cool, though. I mean, see, it's worth a trip to Mason, Ohio just so you can fix my back.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cool.
Check out the computer system, see how we fix up industrial injuries like carpal tunnel.
Now, you're near where, Cleveland?
No, Cincinnati, right outside Cincinnati.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to stop by there and shoot an Inside Mac TV segment.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
cool.
You know,
I mean,
to
save a, come on up.
It's amazing because you're getting a system outfitted for a third of the cost is a huge deal, and you're actually getting less support and everything, less headaches.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, And that's just the way the Macintosh is set up. You know, people look at, the initial cost of getting a PowerBook or an iMac, and they say, oh, gosh, it's so expensive. But when you look at what you really get, you not only get just, excellent hardware that just works flawlessly each time, But you get the whole idea that you've got a piece of equipment that's not going to break on you. It's not going to crash. It's not going to pick up viruses. You know, it just goes on and on about how stable that equipment is. And that's really a big thing. Back in the 80s when I was using Macs, I started off with using a Mac 128. But when I upgraded, I used a Mac SE 30 as a server and 2 512s as terminals, actually three. But if the server went down, I just unplugged the hard drive, put it in a 512, it now became the server, and I could do the same thing now. All my data is stored on RAID drives, so if for some reason a Mac would go down, I just take one, put it in its place, hook up the drive, and I haven't skipped a beat. That's the big thing about Macs. It's a cost saving up front, but boy, is it a gray hair saving event later on down the road when you realize how well it's working.
Very cool. Now, Doctor, we would actually send people to your website is homepage.mac.com/C Cleveland, correct?
Correct.
Cool stuff there, and they can find all the cool stuff with you. There's a link over on Apple's site. If you go to Apple's Hot News, it's apple.com/business/profiles/Cleveland. Or you can find a link over at our site. Doctor, we really appreciate being with us today.
Not a problem. Any other questions you ever have, give me a call.
We will. And if you know anything else or you see anything else that comes up in the Mac space and then in regards to the medical industry, make sure you drop us a line and we would love to have you back and chat about more of this cool stuff with doctoring and the Macintosh. Thank you.
I surely will.
There we go. Dr. Craig Cleveland, MD. Check it out. Homepage.mac.com/C Cleveland. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and the lovely and talented Dina Orlando. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're here with Brad Wright, Scott Shepard, and Dean Orlando. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Scott.
I'm doing great.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how nice. The Inside Mac Radio Program, this part of the show, is brought to you by American Photo. So if you want to check out a very cool publication, sort of in a very artsy and really high-end photography stuff, film and digital, mainly all digital now, but people are still shooting on, silver-colored plastic. So
yeah.
You can check that out over at popphoto.com or americanphoto.com. It's all part of the same with a popular photography website now, so you can check all that cool stuff going on over there. And, talking about who's going to be on the show here next, we have Philip Hodges coming up here in a bit, talking about the digital weekly post and production news and all the cool stuff. We got Dina doing some Mac news coverage a week, and then we have
the big one.
We have the big one coming in. We hope this is going to actually go through because we're trying to pull this one off. This is a little bit of a hardcore deal, but we have Mark Singer. We're going to have Mark Singer in theory. He's a Mac filmmaker embedded with the Force Reconnaissance Marines 24 Marine Expeditionary Unit, U.S. Marine Corps, live from an undisclosed top secret location in Africa.
Now, if you don't, this is a guy that is with the troops. He's under fire, possibly could be under fire while we're doing the interview. And so we don't know if we're going to get him. This is a Special Forces Marine Unit. This is basically the cutting edge of the Marines.
This is crazy.
And these guys are going in, and this guy literally has an M16 strapped to his back, and a power book, maybe.
Well, the thing is, he's shooting with a Panasonic HVX200.
He literally
all digital workflow. Got like 15 8-gig cards.
Mm-hmm.
Got the Panasonic little P2 store drive. So
yeah.
He can copy the drives over. But he's shooting high def in live combat situations.
He's been
embedded with these guys. It's a 2-year gig. He's making this documentary. It's 2 years to make this. And he's been through this group of platoon of guys. There's like 24, 27 guys in this platoon. And he went through. Now, most of these guys in the platoon, we're not talking fresh out of boot camp. These guys all have multiple 2 or 3 tours through Iraq, different conflicts. These are seasoned, hardcore fighting guys for the U.S. Marines. Then you get to be in the reconnaissance marine in the force recon deal. So Force Recon is sort of like you'd say the Green Beret, you know, the Rangers, but this is Forest Recon. This is part of the Marines. These guys hit the beach first. They go on behind you. There's some crazy stuff going on. So if everything works,
we'll get them.
They wouldn't tell me where they're at. I just know they're on the continent of Africa somewhere. That could be God knows.
That could be any place.
It could be
but
Egypt or wherever.
It's probably somewhere very dangerous. And
all I know is right now they're fighting for U.S. anti-terrorism.
Oh, so these guys really are this is the real war on terror right here.
These guys are after it, and they're going to be calling in from a satellite phone live, and it's going to be basically a Sunday at about 3 o'clock in the morning, their time. So maybe they're hanging out in a pit somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe they're taking some R&R.
Maybe we'll get it. Maybe we won't.
Maybe we'll get some.
Yeah.
Some live.
Yeah.
So either way, we're hoping for that. So if you guys want to stay tuned for that, we're going to have that here later in the hour. Mark Singer, Mac Filmmaker. If you want to check out his site, you know, beforehand, look at it. It's pretty bad. This is crazy. It's Mac Singer, Mark, actually, MarkSinger, MarkSinger.info. And he's doing this documentary, 2 years embedded with the Force Recon Unit. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is going to be a good
site. And if you read the site, it's great. I mean, these guys, you know, these guys that have these type of reconnaissance and forward entry type units, this is a very heavy bond. Okay, it's just not. It's even more bond than a football. I mean, this is hardcore. These guys trust their life with each other, and they've actually brought this guy in. He's been with them for like a year now, year and a half. They're actually deployed right now through this full tour, and he's actually been in and brought as part of them. You know, mm-hmm. He's part of their ordeal. They trust him. He trusts him.
He's been through all the training.
Everything with him.
And he's had to fire his weapon.
He's already been through dive training, free dive school, scuba dive training. This guy that's the filmmaker guy has been through all this special forces, marine reconnaissance training with these guys, weapon training, live fire training, anti-tank warfare stuff, hand-to-hand building clearing. I mean, this is, just go check the website out. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
It's all like seeing a guy sitting there all dressed up in camo in full face paint in a gully suit sitting there with a power book going, dude, how's this going to react when we deploy? There's pictures over there. It's pretty cool. So check it out. MarkSinger.info. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro, the place to go if you're a creative professional and want to get more information about what's going on in the industry, tips, tricks, share information with your with your fellow graphic artists. You can check it out at creativepro.com. Right now we have Philip Hodges, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. We have the Buzzmeister with us. How are we doing, mate?
Hey, I'm enjoying the promotion.
There we go. He's promoted. He might be promoted here pretty soon, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I love free stuff.
Yeah,
even if it's a free promotion. But CGM Online, who make the greater CGM plugins for Final Cut Pro, these are FX-based plugins, so it doesn't matter whether you're on Mac or Intel, they will work. Are giving away a LE version of their aged film plugin, so you can get that from them. And of course, they're doing that to get you to draw attention to their whole range of 136 filters in the CGM DVE Complete package. Hey, a free plugin that simulates 35mm film, an aged film, you know, the shake, jump, scratches, you know, all that wonderful stuff we love about film. I don't know why we love film so much, but...
You know something? I've been looking at this deal, and I want one now, bad. I've been looking at the new Arri 416.
Yeah?
Have you seen that?
I've seen a little bit about it, but I'm a video guy. I've never done anything on film.
I want to shoot some film for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's going to be really expensive to have the stuff scanned, developed.
It will, and then you'll get over it after you shoot it, and you'll say, I'll never do that again.
Maybe I should rent one, but this camera is just so sexy. You know?
See, Scott, you just got the bug. This is the way the disease progresses. First you had the audio bug, Then you got the video bug, and that really hasn't inoculated. Most people stop at that point. But no, you've got a really bad case, and now you want to go on to film.
I want to go shoot film.
Yeah, you just, see, that's serious. You need to check yourself into some sort of
asylum. Yeah.
No, but you know, you really don't get the dynamic range that you do with film. You can't duplicate it in video.
Yes, you can.
Oh, they can't even do it with a Viper. Come on.
Yes, you can.
Maybe the Red will. Maybe
the Red will.
Maybe Ted will be my salvation.
I tell you, I have a very strong feeling that once you shoot with the Red, you will never go back.
I don't know, man. You can shoot with Super 16. Using Kodak film and get 2K resolution off a scanner and digital intermediary right in the Final Cut, and you have this dynamic range that you can't get in video.
Today.
Well, that's true, but you've got it in. Once you've got it in Final Cut, you've lost the dynamic range because it doesn't support high dynamic range internally.
Yes.
Not yet.
Oh, okay, maybe not yet. But maybe Red will force
caveats. Yeah. No.
Well, Red's not going to support it either then.
Well, no, Final Cut currently doesn't support 4K. The 4K resolution out of Red isn't supported in Final Cut, which has a maximum frame size of 4,000 pixels in any dimension.
Okay, then I'm going to shoot 8mm. It's cheaper. It's
we better move on.
You can back it up to the 50GB dual layer Blu-ray media, which Sony are now shipping in the U.S.
Really?
Not a recordable.
It's not recordable media, but the media is there. It's right. Record once correctly, or is that?
It's right recorded once. And it can sustain a 25 megabit per second data transfer rate, which means it's going to take you about 2.5 hours to fill a 50 GB disc.
Not
but
bad.
Still,
not
hey,
bad.
And just to get a gratuitous swipe at Vista, because it's the Inside Mac show after all.
Oh, come on, bash him, please.
I was reading during the week that the next generation, that Vista on 32-bit systems, i.e. pretty much everything that's out there now, short of a Core 2 Duo Woodcrest, is not going to support HD DVD or Blu-ray playback of movies on Vista.
Nice. Because
they can't get the DRM secure enough.
You know, there's only one thing to say about that, Philip, and I hate to be obnoxious, but just it's only one word. It's called loser. Okay.
It's like, everything about Vista that keeps coming out is like one piece of bad news after a five-year development cycle that threw out everything that was innovative in Vista, really, the new file system and a whole range of other things that were supposed to be the real core. They threw it out in order to ship. They're still 3 years late, and they haven't got even like HD DVD playback.
Yeah, what's really going to come out to is just a reskinned-looking version of XP. That's basically what it's going to come down to. It's like, yeah, we added like 3 features, and if you just reskin the whole interface, that's it. We're done.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's horrific.
Scott, if you really get this filmmaking bug bad, you'll have to come down to L.A. and sign up on the no-budget film school, unless you've got that $2 million funding since I last spoke to you.
No, I don't have the funding.
Well, Mark Shaloroff is going to run this no-budget film school. It's been running for a couple of years now, and the latest version is actually coming up in October, a two-day symposium. And we interviewed Mark Olds about this time last year, about the last no-budget film school. And, you know, for micro-budgets, between $2,000 and $200,000. So you probably fit in there. If you can afford the film, that's your $2,000 gone. They've got a pretty good range of star-studded cast. You've got, you know, a whole bunch of people from Pasta Digital, Mike Cioni, who we also have interviewed on the Digital Production Buzz. Peter Broderick is a former president of Next Wave Films. A whole lot of interesting people are going to be talking about that, and you can get that at nobudgetfilmschool.com.
That is cool. I like no-budget films.
No-budget films are my budget. On the positive side, Avid have made good, well, continued to make good, they haven't backed down anyway, on their Intel Mac support, but it's a big project for Avid. I've got to give them some props here because they were never in Xcode with their code base, so they've had to import a very big application into Xcode, debug it, get a release out there to support Tiger, and then move on to actually start supporting Intel Mac. So it's been an enormously big job, but they expect they will probably have it by December this year.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have Avid, if you're standardizing Avid, you need it. And
you got to have it. It's just a tool, you know? It really doesn't matter. If you're confident with that tool, it's great, as long as you're not on a PC.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, and Avid is the only truly cross-platform editing company now. They're the only one where you can have whichever way you do like it.
Yeah.
So, and they'll probably be in a good position to support Leopard next year, but they haven't actually told anything about it. They did say, sorry, I tell a lie, Its business also expects to support future versions of the Mac OS, including the forthcoming OS 10 10.5 Leopard.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and CityDisk, if you want another alternative to P2 Media because you can't afford P2 Media, Procon Digital Systems have released their CityDisk HD. Now, it's between $999 and $1,200 for the various 120 gigabyte, up to 120 gigabytes and 130 record minutes of recording time for DVC Pro HD. That would be an alternative to the Fire Store and at about half the price.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, I mean, actually, you can take this out rather than using the P2 Media. I guess this would just come into a slot on your P2 Media adapter card, effectively? Or does it come out the FireWire port?
This is the FireWire. It's another FireWire. So okay. It's a direct competitor to Fire Store.
Plugs into the FireWire port, and you get DVC Pro HD.
Correct, yes.
Oh, excellent.
There is another adapter, and the name of it eludes me right on at the moment. I don't think it's shipping yet, but it's been announced that will go into the P2 slot, and it will carry a lot more metadata than the ones that get through the FireWire port.
Very interesting. Hey, Philip, thank you so much for that great information. That was Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can find out more information about Philip's program at digitalproductionbuzz.com. That's Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m., live on the web, and the podcasts are available shortly thereafter. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have, we hope, live U.S. Marines in an undisclosed top secret location. Stay tuned, and you might hear where. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to get the coolest software updates for your Macintosh. You can check that out at macupdate.com. Right now we have with us Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily Radio News Program. She's here with us live in studio with a roundup of all the cool Mac news for the week. Hello, Dina. How are we doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Scott. You sounded a little bit sad when you asked me that.
No, no.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm doing okay.
I'm doing okay. My cat died.
How sad.
My cat didn't really die. I just, you know.
You're just going with it.
That's yes, I'm just trying to go with it. Yeah. That's right. Well, let's get back to you. Let's go back
okay.
to this.
Well, actually, when I was in college, none of this cool stuff happened. When I was a kid, they never had the best toys that they do now. When I was in college, never did stuff like this. Colleges and universities around the U.S. are catching on. Offer students free MacBooks and iPods, and they will come. Georgia College has distributed close to 800 iPods on loan to students that are enrolled in certain classes. Students use the portable music players to listen to music chosen by a professor, watch videos outside class, record lectures or interviews, and create original content. Recently, Mercer University has begun working with the popular music player as well. The Tift College of Education purchased 20 30-gig video iPods that were used this past summer with online classes through Mercer's Henry County campus. And with the popularity of iPods among the students, the college will be integrating even more iPods and podcasting in the curriculum. But that's not all. The Ringling School of Art and Design in Florida is handing out MacBooks to all their incoming freshmen who are enrolled in the first year of their Core Studio program. Each MacBook includes pre-installed software, including Adobe Creative Suite and Microsoft Office. According to the school, the MacBook is chosen because of its ability to run Mac OS X and Microsoft Windows. The new MacBooks will be used to help the school integrate technology with learning and to ensure its student-to-computer ratio of 2-to-1. The laptops and the iPods are free of charge, but unfortunately they have to be returned when the student graduates or they drop out.
Well, that's actually really crazy because one of the angles that I never thought of is the fact that universities can standardize on one piece of hardware and then they're done. So all they have to do is go out and buy MacBooks
mm-hmm.
for all the students, and they can deploy them either as Windows XP boxes for people that need Windows XP and or as Mac OS, because now you only have one thing to buy and one thing to maintain. I think it's
I think it'll be a big thing in the school gig once they actually have boot camp and it's released and it's out and it's legitimate and you can just, and I wouldn't doubt these, some of these secret things that we didn't see Mr. Jobs talk about during the Worldwide Developer keynote that of course you can watch over at Inside Mac TV.
Yeah.
I bet you they're going to, you remember, hit a button, it's going to be fast user switching for the whole OS.
Yeah. Yeah, it, very interesting. Yeah. Really, really interesting.
Nice sound effects.
Yeah.
I'll just continue. Apple finds itself at the top of another survey. I think every week I'm talking about some kind of survey that Apple is number one or number two on. This time it's the PC Magazine conducted its, and it's conducted its 19th annual reader satisfaction survey with the most reliable PCs offering the best support when things go wrong. The survey said to look no further than Apple. The survey showed that Apple took first place in notebooks category, scoring 9.1 out of 10. The laptop scored a 9.2 for reliability and 8.5 for tech support. The 9.4 for likelihood of Mac laptop users to recommend it to a friend. They're telling friends to buy Mac laptops now.
What, friends don't let friends buy PCs?
Not anymore, I guess. And Apple has increased its share in the notebook market. It was reported that global shipments of Apple's Intel-based laptops totaled 780,000 to 800,000 units in the second quarter of this year, with the MacBooks leading the way. This represents an on-year increase of 60% and has accounted for more than 4% of the global notebook market, which is Apple's highest in the past 2 years.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it's you got wacky. More news coming up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go, Dean Orlando. Yeah. Inside Mac Minute daily news program. You can check it out at InsideMacRadio.com. Go over to MacMinute.com. Go over to iTunes. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac show, Printing for Less. These guys are real ink on paper offset printers. You can scribble it with a crayon. Give me any file from a Mac Plus to a Mac Pro. These cats will rip it up and print it out, have it to you right now. Check them out. Very cool. PrintingForLess.com. Dina, we're here with Dina Orlando.
Yes,
the host of the Inside Mac Minute daily news program. We've been talking about Mac news, and you have more news from the world of Macintosh.
Uh-huh. Shall
really?
I begin?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I thought this was kind of fun. It's not really, well, I guess it is news, but it's a contest, and I think contests are kind of cool because there are a lot of smart people out there that don't actually work for Apple and all these places. So this new competition is called My Dream App. It invites all those who are interested to submit your best ideas for the next killer app. According to MacMinute.com, contestants will compete for a chance to have their idea realized as a Macintosh shareware application and earn royalties on software sales, as well as take home one of many Macs and iPods available as prizes for the finalists. 40 popular Mac developers, established members of the tech media, and even Apple alumni have signed on to My Dream App as guest judges. A few of the judges include Dig.com founder Kevin Rose, New York Times columnist and best-selling author David Pogue, and Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, who I guess will be back from his little Hummer trip by then. I'm not sure.
We hope so.
Yeah, yeah. If he's going to be a guest, he should be back.
He should be back, yeah. He will be calling in.
Submissions are open to everyone, but be sure to have them by September 1st. The first week of user voting will begin September 21st, and then they're going to be, you know, they're actually going to be helped by these guys to get their dream realized. I think it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, neat idea. Yeah, it's pretty good. You get a little bit more people out there writing programs, coming up with really good ideas. It just promotes getting out a really good application.
Yeah.
You know, another one.
And it can be used. That's what the cool thing is.
Yeah.
And you get a free Macintosh stuff no matter what you want. So anyway, that was pretty much all I had today. That's my last story. So I'm hoping those military guys check in
come in at
from
any
wherever they are. Maybe they're even the best. Maybe they're in like Los Gatos. We don't even know it.
Yeah, really, they're kicking funny? Back at like, you know, yeah, they're kicking back somewhere downtown Los Gatos at maybe at the Bayer Coffee Roasting Company.
You never know.
That's a great place. Or maybe they're at Dolce Spazio.
Maybe.
Which is another great place.
Having some gelato.
Having some gelato and then just kicking back and that's it. Yeah.
Los Gatos. I really think they wish they were.
Yeah.
In hot and nasty Los Gatos right now.
Hot and nasty. I would say that I would rather be in Los Gatos than Africa. I think that's a pretty easy, you know, pretty easy call.
You never know, though. You know? But there was another story this week about these guys are bringing over hand-carved little animals made out of wood from Kenya.
Safari iPods.
You ever seen those little hard-carved little giraffes and little elephants and stuff you can buy?
Oh, really?
That are from, like, Kenya. You ever seen those for sale?
Yeah.
And they're, like, you know, $5.
And they're carving
Well, they're selling them now with a big notch in them to hold an iPod. They're $50. What a deal.
I thought it was 100. My story.
That's a killer idea. I think that's an absolutely awesome idea.
Well, it's something. Every one is individually done by hand.
Yeah.
So they're all different. They range anywhere from 6 to 9 inches big. And they got a thing. They're made to hold an iPod. And they have giraffes and zebras and lions. And
that's
pretty cool. They're sort of
awesome,
spendy.
Awesome idea.
I don't think they're worth 50 clams or $100 or 80 or whatever they cost.
Well,
if you go buy handmade, it's like a piece of art. I think it is. Yeah, I'd say worth 50 or 100.
You know what the sad thing about it is, though? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not even going to go there. It's pretty cool, though.
I really, and
they're giving some work to some cats in Kenya that could use it, though.
No doubt.
They're probably only getting paid like $1 a piece, but you know, that's here nor there.
Let's hope they are. You know, let's hope they're doing better than that. You know, somebody's not just keeping the $49 per unit themselves. You know, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sorry, I should have had more stories.
Well, we didn't know if we were going to make it.
We didn't talk about the other ones. I mean, we got, you know, there's battery stories and there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, we could talk about more stuff. We have time later. Let's see if our friends call and hear from the United States Marine Corps.
Yes.
That's it.
That's the big one.
So, next up here, in theory, if everything goes the way it plans and the satellites align, we're going to have Mark Singer, Mac filmmaker embedded with the Force Reconnaissance Marine, 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit, United States Marine Corps. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
What, you platinum-plated nincompoop?
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of our buddy Philip Hodges. We just talked to Philip.
Yeah, we did.
We did. I still want to shoot the RE416.
Oh, you'll
But
do
I can't
it
believe
once.
There's no high dynamic range in Final Cut 5.1.1.
Oh, no, and we better not even go there because
why not?
We won't go there. But,
why not?
Because
I got to use Avid. Then you're telling me.
No, we don't even want to go there either. Avid doesn't support
so
HDR.
So who
yet.
Supports high dynamic range in video editing?
Good question.
Does anybody?
Question.
What do these
I don't
guys
think
do?
Anybody does? No.
So everybody shoots in film, and they do.
You can import
scan it.
You could import it as 10-bit. But what typically is done is that it's converted down. It's down converted for editing. So,
and they use a digital intermediary, and then they actually do what? Go back out and how to? We'll talk. We might talk about
spit.
This in a minute because you know right now
we're holding.
We're in a holding pattern right now for Mark Singer. These guys are trying to touch base with us here via satellite. Mark is a Mac filmmaker, a Mac-based filmmaker, documentary mm-hmm. maker. He's been embedded with the Force Reconnaissance Unit, the Force Recon Marines. And they're deployed right now, as we speak live, in the continent of Africa. somewhere hanging out in Rommel's old stomping grounds. I don't know where, but, you know, we don't know. They wouldn't tell us, and they're going to try to get to us. So if they can, that's great.
Yes.
And if not, we're going to just talk. We're going to chat. It's coffee talk. We're going to talk amongst ourselves.
Well, yeah, we don't know at any minute this guy could be calling in. It really
and
is.
And if not, maybe next week. We'll see what happens. I mean, we've been trying to get these guys, and like I said, they're under live deployment. They're not just hanging out at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, you know, drinking beer, you know, playing war dudes. These guys are live, and they're out trying to protect, you know, the fine United States of America from these terrorist swines. So either way, let's go back to what we were talking about, a film, High Dynamic Range. Explain this to us, so if our listeners don't know, and they want to get a little bit more information, because, you know, they see stuff on TV, and is it really shot on video? Is my local, is when I watch Ray Romano, is that on film? Is this on video? How do they edit
it?
Why don't you talk about this real quick on how people do production? When you watch a television show on TV, and we're not going to get too geeky on this here, because we don't want to alienate a bunch of people, but, you know, tell us about this film production and this High Dynamic Range thingy real quick.
Well, High Dynamic Range is basically most, you know, if you go back to typically wave video has been handled, it's been handled with only about 256 levels of gray, you know, basically an 8-bit file. And High Dynamic Range can go much larger. I mean, if you go out and you take your digital
camera...
You're
talking like 16-bit, 24-bit, like you're doing digital camera,
usually
so shooting raw.
16 is probably the max, but you can work in higher spaces than that. 16, you can obviously go to 32. You can go to higher bits per... But we're talking about levels of gray, different shades of gray that are available. If you shoot a camera right now, if you take a digital SLR, you get about 12 bits of gray, so you get, you know, that you get much higher bit depth than with the digital camera, and that allows you to do some adjustments to the image. And just like that, you can do that with you know, with some of the newer cameras that are potentially coming out from companies like you know, companies that are now developing that cameras. Yes.
Red.
Yes.
Red.
Yes.
Rum.
Yes. Red. So it's very interesting. So eventually, I think eventually going down the road, you're not going to see much of a difference between film and video. Right now, it's very, very close. And I think going forward, you can just basically say, you know, Hasta La Vista film. There'll be only special cases where you actually shoot it.
You think so?
I think very much so.
Really?
Yeah.
You think this Red deal is going to pull it out? This is going to be it?
I'm very, very...
I can put a wooden stake in the heart of Kodak. Goodbye.
I think it's gonna be. You're still gonna see some of it, but it's once this camera comes out, I think it's gonna be game over. Really, pretty much. That's
really. I mean, I can just shoot whatever I want on a DVX 100B or a HVX 200, and you know, run Graham Mattress's film plugin on my video, and
yeah, you get a good image. But I definitely would strongly look at getting a better camera than the HVX 200. Although it's a good camera. It doesn't have a very high res sensor, and so it's good for a lot of situations. But it doesn't. I think printing out to 35mm film is going to be more of a challenge than using some other solutions. But it's
I still want to shoot film.
Yeah,
I've been shooting a lot here lately, and as a matter of fact, I've been doing a review. I have a unit right now from Canon. Okay, and it's the EOS 1D Mark II N. Mm-hmm. This is a 8.5 megapixel full pro camera. 18 by 35 lens. It's about $6,000. Shoots raw, JPEG, raw, JPEG, JPEG, raw. It's cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I have a Sigma SD10 with a Phobion sensor. That's a completely different technical process than the sensor of the other cameras. Okay.
Yes.
And I look at the two, and one camera costs $4,000 for the body, and one costs 1,500 clams.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't get the same thing as I get on film.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, I just think you have to actually get familiar with the camera. I think film
maybe
is...
Maybe if I took these digital images and you know,
It's really part of the raw conversion. I mean, I think when you get to the level of really being familiar with the shooting digitally, most guys are already completely converted off of film because film is just so expensive in processing. And
that's true. Now, I know a couple guys that are extremely well-renowned. Their work's in permanent display in the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
And privately, they have told me they would love to shoot film again.
Why?
One of our bystanders here.
Why would they still want to shoot film?
Because of the dynamic range. Because there's
it
things
breathes.
It's a lot. It's different. Okay. Now I could be wrong because these images that I've been processing, and you know, I'm no schlep in Photoshop. Okay. And matter of fact, bring Photoshop up. Inside Mac will be at Photoshop World Live and the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas doing live coverage. But
all right,
secondary from that, you know, you can see all the stuff you want on the screen and blah, 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 blah. But really, when you print the stuff out, that can make the, you see so much stuff on the screen you don't see when you print. Even with these printer deals, and if you use a dye sub, a little photo printer.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you use an inkjet, or even if you send your stuff off and have Kodak through their O-Photo service print it, they actually shoot this in real Kodak film and you get prints back. Real prints. Silver hydride paper prints. When you go digital print and you have the stuff done through the...
It
still looks different than what's on the screen. So maybe I just need to process stuff what I think's right.
What it is
and
is
have
that
it printed, because I haven't printed anything. I have an issue right now with printers, right, but we'll go into that later.
What it is that you really have to... The way to get around it is you just basically have to calibrate your screen correctly so that it can handle... So that you know that the color and everything is going to come out the other end when it gets printed. And I think with calibration, I mean, I really, once you feel comfortable with it and you've done enough comparisons between the screen and the output image, then I think you're fine. I don't think you'll ever have a problem. It's just a matter of, a lot of it's just learning how to use the tools and getting familiar
with
it.
You know, that's the horrible thing about it, because I have, dude, I have so many different screen calibrators, from $100 ones to $1,000 ones, and I've never used them.
Well, the key is that, though.
So maybe I need to do that, but then I'm working on a PowerBook and I haven't done it to the cinema display. But really, you know, this is, it's just something different of shooting this little stupid metal canister, taking it even to, like, you know, a Thrifty's or a Walmart or wherever, and just saying, dude, and they hand you back this tactile, glossy, beautiful, high color, high contrast ratio print. It's like, dude, that's cool.
Yeah, no, you still like CDs too. You still like LPs, don't
Let's
you?
Go back like to 8-track tape.
Matter of fact, I like LPs sound better than CDs do.
Well, yeah, LPs do sound pretty warm.
Subharmonic rumble is awesome.
And I also...
There you go.
I love dragging a needle across plastic.
Yeah, and I also, you know, it's like I like tubes better than transistors, because I amplifiers, tube preamps and microphones, it sounds warmer, it's more...
I have to go with you there. I do like the sound of tubes, but one of the advantages with all digital is that you can put it in and you can also take it out. So you can always color it, but you can't really uncolor it. And that's the one of the things that you can get. You can at least, you know, you can record with tubes and then you can take it, you can drop it in, and then when you need a mix that doesn't have it, you can take it out.
That's true, and there's all these emulators too that do these tube emulations in digital. And I think I was talking with Art about this the other day, between a Focusrite D3 compressor in a plug-in in Pro Tools.
Yeah, plug-in in a rack mount.
Or the $4,000 rack mount unit.
That is basically synthesized the algorithms.
It's not the same, man.
Yeah, they're very close, but they are not the same unit.
Well, that's right. See, the thing is...
It's digits, it's ones and zeros, and it has a harshness that the rack mount won't have.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think is that if you're going to be talking about processing audio before it gets digitized, that's so more important to get it set correctly before it gets digitally, because audio has so much range dynamically. It's probably the most complex part of any system. You know, it's just getting that analog.
You know, that's the question I think about. Okay, and then I look at this too. I look at this whole digital deal. You know, all we talk is digital, 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 digital lifestyle, digital this, you know. What was wrong with a movie called Patton with George C. Scott? No digital in it, no visual effects. It was shot on silver-coated plastic. It was chopped up with a razor blade. And guess what? It's pretty nice.
Well, the first limitation that comes to mind is the only way to keep it around for the next 100 years is to digitize it.
Yes. Well, no, actually, what people do typically in the film process, they digitize it and they print it back to film.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
So
exactly,
a lot of the films, film actually stores better. You know, they know that the film will still be there, but they don't know if the digital files will always be there.
Well, as long as they recreate them every so often,
Before
the master goes back.
That's
you know what they could do? They could just print it out as ones and O's, and someone could sit down and spend like 5 years typing it in a computer. That's never going to go away.
I want to see that in a business model.
Yeah. So there was our rant about analog versus digital, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Give us your feedback. Drop us an email at radio@insidemac.com and tell us, do you still like shooting film? Do you still like film, the look of film, the tactile experience of picking up those pictures for $6.95 at your local drugstore? What's up? We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. personal journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including personal journal for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by you, the listener of the Inside Mac show. We want to hear your feedback, what you'd like to hear. If there's something we're missing, something you'd like to hear about, if you have a comment, a feedback, a suggestion, please email us at radio@insidemac.com. We would love to have your comment, your input. If you think you have a story that you want to come on and talk about on the Inside Mac show, you have something cool going on that you use your Mac with. We put this call out before and we had the guy come on that was the toy maker. The guy made handmade toys like old Kris Kringle.
Oh, yes. That was very cool.
Yeah. And we're talking fully analog, brother.
Yeah.
No digital involvement there.
Except behind the scenes.
Well, he actually used his Mac and he designed tools on his Mac, but then he would get out.
The lathe.
Well, he'd get out, a pencil and a bandsaw, and then he'd start whittling and sanding. And
yeah. Wood is a fantastic media for making things like toys because you get a warmth and a feel that is very hard to emulate anywhere else. It's beautiful. Yeah, it just looks great.
And what a great contrast going from Mac to a hammer. And it gave him the design platform that he couldn't get anywhere else. But it ultimately came back to working with his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, I think the idea of Macintosh goes back to the fact is that you do feel more like you're in control of things
and
uninhibited by the process.
Sure.
And that's probably why the Mac is so well accepted in the creative community.
Well, exactly. The process doesn't become the goal.
Right. You
don't
have to fight
it. The goal is still the goal.
Yes.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
So true.
Hey, we had a cool show today.
Off the hook. I want to know what happened to our guy embedded in what we speculate is probably somewhere around Egypt. We'll follow up the story next week and hopefully get him on the line.
Yeah, we were planning on trying to get this week. If we couldn't do next week, they're going to be available via sat phone here in the next few weeks. So hopefully we get Mark and those guys back on. But I really urge you to go check out his site. It's called Mark, MarkSinger, MarkSinger.info. There's great stuff of what he's doing with the Force Recon unit. There's an actual deal that they actually, if you want to send a care package to these guys, they would love some cookies.
Yeah,
they don't get this kind of
stuff.
They'll
be 4 months old when they get them, but they would probably appreciate the thought.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to send it to an FPO, and God knows where that goes, and then it goes somewhere else, but it goes to the Command Element Force Recon Platoon.
For somebody just tuning in, just explain who this guy is and what he's doing.
What it is, Mark is a filmmaker that's embedded with the Force Recon unit, a platoon of the United States Marine Corps.
And what that means for this guy is it doesn't just mean he works for the Associated Press and he's shooting film standing behind the lines. This guy is involved with a troop, a bunch of guys that are so advanced, top specialists over Navy SEALs. A lot of these guys probably were Green Beret and Navy SEALs. These are the best of the best. He had to go through boot camp. He had to go through all their training, or the lion's share of their training, to even be considered to hang with them on these special missions. He's going to call in, and he's not going to be able to tell us where he is. I love that.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get him back on, because this would be a tremendous segment. Yeah, and he basically just has his camera and his Mac and his M16 on his back.
And I love the fact of this story. This is a civilian who's packing.
Well, the thing is,
he has to.
To be embedded with these guys because of what their occupation is, you need to trust your fellow platoon member.
And they can't look at you as simply the weakest link in the chain. They know
you're
the weakest link.
Yeah, you got to be able to prove to these guys that they'll trust your life with them and you trust them with theirs. So this guy's, if you read the stuff on the site, these guys in the platoon have said, you're one of us.
Yeah.
They said, you're not a Marine.
Journalistically, I think this kind of bridge hasn't been crossed since back in the days of World War II.
No.
Because they've become so specialized and they wouldn't let somebody into their ranks like this guy has for the last 2 years. Hopefully we'll hear from him next week.
Yeah, check it out. Mark Singer. .info. I'd like to thank the other guests we had today. We had James Kim, the senior editor at CNET, talking about some way wicked cool iPod speaker systems. We had Andy Schaller with a Mac Design Out of the Box tip, Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. We had Dr. Craig Cleveland, MD, talking about how he uses Macintosh in his practices. You can check his stuff out over at Apple's website on the Hot Deals page, on the the hot news stories. We also had Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Program, talking about all the cool news of the week. Philip Hodges doing the digital production buzz. And we talked about Mark Singer and the Mac Filmmakers. And we'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac Show, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, Firmtex, Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the digital production buzz. You can find out more information at www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be back next week with more great news and information.